following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. First Wednesday in November, and coming up on the program today, our Loper Link. It is the athletic director, Paul Plinski. I don't know what's going on. Last week, it's Doug Christensen. This week, it's Paul Plinski. I'm shaking my shoes. Who are you, by the way?
Eric Stratton, Rush Terman. Darn glad to meet you. Yeah. Is this thing on? How's this work? How's that go? What is this thing called?
The last seven weeks, keeping that off has worked very well on this program. We'll also talk with Nebraska.
Less you have to apologize for.
Nebraska women's basketball coach Connie Yori will be joining us at the bottom of the hour as well. And we'll talk with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report in our final segment as the second round of the state football playoffs begin today in Class D, quarterfinals in A, B, and C on Friday, plus our six-man friends will be on to the semifinals. But Election Day is over. Randy Bushcutter is back with me as my Wednesday co-host, and welcome back.
It is good to be back, and you know, I want to tip my hat to Jim Bunger and also Bob Lammers, who were kind enough to sign a document waiving their right to have free airtime because I do football games. You know, over the last few weeks, they did not have to do that. That was very kind of them to do, and want to say thanks to those guys. But we kind of felt that maybe being on this show during that time frame during the campaign wasn't appropriate, so I had to kind of sit that one out. So it's nice to have that over with.
Yeah, well, let's just say FCC, run by the NCAA, run by the NSAA. Are they all under all these initials? Are they the same thing?
Yeah, they're bureaucrats, is what they are. Yeah,
what it boils down to. This was a different show. We could get into that. No, I'm sorry. You can't be in the media if you're going to run for public office.
Well, I get the rule, you know, and I'm comfortable with it. And again, I thought it was nice of Jim and Bob to kind of sign the document that allowed me to still do football games and stuff. So, I mean, it's not their fault.
Stan Klaus is glad that I'm in radio, so that way I'm not the mayor.
Yeah, that's how that breaks down. And if it wasn't for that, you'd be running like the whole shebang. Yeah, that's how that works.
I can't run the little show around here, evidently. So it is swamp time with state football. Of course, the Doug and Daddy Show every day. District volleyball rolling on. The Huskers, what's going on there? Basketball season has started for Hastings College, and we will get into our Loper Link right now. Brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons; they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. Going to go through some of the news and notes for the Lopers, but remind you that there will be a Loper luncheon tomorrow at the UNK Health and Sports Center. Lunch begins at 11:45. Then the coaches will speak at 12 noon. And as we've been talking about that transition going on, UNK wrestling team had their blue gold over the weekend. They head to the Iowa State Cyclone Open on Saturday. They're picked to win the MIAA. They're third in the preseason poll. The UNK volleyball team will be on the road for four straight, beginning with two games Friday and Saturday. They're currently ranked seventh in the country. They split their matches last week. The season came to an end for UNK women's soccer as they fell 1-0 to Emporia State, which kept them out of the MIAA tournament. And basketball, they continue to practice. They'll get going in a week here with the start of their season. The indoor track and field preseason poll, UNK men are fourth, and the women are fifth in track and field. And there's two or three things we got to get to here. And we welcome in the athletic director, Paul Plinski. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm full of questions. We need more than 24 hours in a day, don't we? I'm deciding that maybe it'd be a good idea to just skip eating. That'll save me about 10 minutes at two different times of the day.
Eating or sleeping, I guess, either or.
I've already done that. I've already already lost all facilities with that. So if 4 hours a night ain't enough, then what are you going to do? A couple of things before we jump into what's going on maybe on the courts and on the fields right here. There are two or three stories out there that I want to address, and you still being fairly new to UNK. One thing that I probably even asked you last year, and it continues to just grind my gears, is will ever anything ever be done, and can UNK or their member partners in the central region address anything with the Division II volleyball board about what we've got going on with regionalization, or is it even a matter or a topic worth discussing? I know that the other regions, we've talked about this, they like it because it's a lot easier for them to make the national tournament. But it just seems absurd to me that you can be fourth in the country last week and sixth in your own region.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a discussion, and I'm happy to have it. The interesting thing that Division II is kind of caught in is the concept of regionalization. And the conversation that we've had with the NCAA and what they continue to tell us is that they did all these polls and they had people vote and everyone gave their opinion, and the majority, and in fact they quoted 82%, were in favor of keeping regionalization as it is. Well, after a lot of meetings that I've been to and a lot of conversations, I've asked athletic directors and other coaches, I said, what do you think about it? And they continue to say, you know, regionalization is awful. It's totally contradictory of Division I and what they're doing. And quite frankly, Division III doesn't even come close to regionalization anymore. They move people around because they want what they call the best championship bracket possible.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in Division II, you have all the good teams in our region. So we're going to end up going in the sport of volleyball, if we have, you know, a successful finish here, up to University of Minnesota Duluth, and we're going to have to see probably six or seven teams that are in the top 15 in the country, all in the same region. And then you go to the other regions, and they're going to have nobody, maybe one, that will be in the top in their region or even be nationally ranked. And so it puts us in a significant disadvantage. So we continue to push it with the NCAA, but we're hoping for change, but it also comes back to the financial implications, you know, what they're willing to pay for.
I want to follow up, and Randy, I'm not used to having you here on Wednesday, so you just...
I'll join in at some point, Paul.
I'm not even against abolishing the regionalization, but here in the state, they even move the districts around so that you're not playing the exact same people every single year. Mm-hmm. Why can't the Northern Sun one time drift a little bit to the east? Mm-hmm. Why can't the MIAA drift a little bit to the south? Mm-hmm. At least mix it up every once in a while, because I know there's money, I know there's travel. But if you just mix it one, slide one over every once in a while, I would think that would at least appease some people.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they did show a pattern of being willing to listen to us, because in the sport of wrestling, this last year we were in a tremendously difficult region. We had to go down to University of Central Oklahoma and compete down there against all of the good teams. And we got five wrestlers per weight class into the national championships, but UNK only got seven wrestlers in because of the competitiveness of the region. Well, they changed that for next year. So wrestling, UCO, and Fort Hays are going to be moving over to the RMAC so that we're going to compete in that regional in the sport of wrestling. And I asked the question, I was like, why is it just in wrestling? Why can't we have that opportunity in all of our sports? You know, if they're gonna start to tear apart a conference and have a part of our conference compete in one region and another part of our conference compete in another region, and they're gonna do it in wrestling, why can't they start to do that in football? Why can't they do it in basketball, volleyball? You know, those are great questions that we're trying to ask. And so it continues to come down to their explanation of it's gonna cost us money, and this is what 82% of the people are saying, which we continue to question the validity of that as well.
Well, with that 82%, though, I mean, seven of the eight districts benefit because all the good teams are in one district.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so to me, it's an issue of equity. It's not an issue of a democracy, in a sense, because at that point, like I say, seven of the eight districts are benefiting from the fact that all the good teams are located in one district. Is there not somebody that can kind of oversee that and say, this needs to be changed? Somebody that's in authority can kind of look at it and say, there's a fairness issue here that isn't being met.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you take it to the sport of football. You know, you got Minnesota Mankato, you got Minnesota Duluth, and Northwest Missouri State and Pitt State. Four teams right there that are ranked in the top six or seven in the country, and they're all going to be playing each other in the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament.
And actually, Paul, when the first regional rankings came out, the defending national champions, Northwest Missouri State, at that time would not have even got in because they were seventh and
Correct.
They take six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost to Pitt State. They're the defending national champs. Can you imagine this discussion in Division I if something like that had happened? I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm. It is, and we're frustrated with it, and we continue to push it. But, you know, it gets to a point where our conference commissioner and the presidents have to really stand up and make a statement here if we're ever going to get change in this area. Because right now they're going to continue practice as is because they feel like the majority rule in this case. And unfortunately, it's sad for our student-athletes because UNK should be in an Elite Eight situation more regularly than they are, especially in the sport of volleyball. We're an Elite Eight team, but because of the way it's set up, we're competing in a national championships in the regional competition.
We're talking with Paul Plinsky, athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. A couple of other items here. Both of them have a little twinge with swimming, mm-hmm. but you've also got the Joan Bailey Award that's going to be honored. But first with swimming, sometimes a conference doesn't have enough members to keep something going. So kind of ironic that the swim team is going to go back to the RMAC because the Northern Sun, I mean, the MIAA swimming, not really. The Northern Sun has decided to not sponsor it as a sport anymore, so the swim team here at UNK was trying to find a home again.
Yeah, when we were in the RMAC in the sport, in all of our sports, and we competed in swimming and diving championships, we had to go all the way down to New Mexico and Texas, and we were going all over the place to be able to compete in our conference championship for the RMAC. And so when we made the move to the MIAA, the MIAA doesn't have any swimming programs except for Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. So there isn't a conference championship. So we had to find a logical place to put our team. And so we called the Northern Sun. They asked us to join in their conference. And so we ended up going up to Minnesota to compete for the conference championship up there. Well, I get a call this summer from them, and they said, well, you know, we're losing a team. And Lindenwood's leaving to go to the RMAC. And that means we're going to be down in a number of teams, so we can't sponsor a championship sport. We won't be able to do it. And athletes won't get awards. They won't have a culminating experience. It won't even be recognized by NCAA standards. And so I just got on the phone and called Chris Graham, the commissioner of the RMAC, and I said, is there a chance? Is there a hope? How much will it cost us? And he said, here's the cost. And I said, okay, we would like to be a part of your conference if you'll have us. And so he talked to coaches, he talked to his executive council, and one thing led to the other. And the positive for us is that they're competing in Colorado. They're not going to be shipping us off to other places to compete in the conference championship. And the other positive is that fellow MIAA counterpart Lindenwood's going with us. They have a really long haul to go, by the way, but they're going with us to compete in this really strong conference now. So I think this will give our program a good chance to get some identity and become a program that has a place that they can call their own.
And obviously one of the big names that have ever come out of that swimming program is head coach Joan Bailey, who was there for 34 years, starting in the 1960s. And I think 1963 she came and coached the men's and women's swimming team at UNK. You guys have announced that you're going to have an award named in her honor that is really going to highlight folks that have advanced women's athletics. Talk a little bit about how that kind of came to be and what the criteria is for choosing the award.
Well, it was real obvious to me my first year here that we had a lot of great leaders that walked on the campus of UNK and helped it become, you know, a strong institution but a great athletic program. And a lot of people, you know, will look to Al Zickman and Dick Beechner and John McBride and, you know, even back to Charlie Foster and, you know, the founding fathers of the program. And now we're to a point where, you know, and I kept saying to myself, you know, where are the females that were instrumental in helping advance, you know, Loper athletics? And so we started to do some research, and we went back, and a lot of names started to pop up. And the name Joanne Bailey continued to pop up because she was one that, continued to fight for women's athletics. And she came here when women's swimming and diving was the only sport program offered for women. She then started to she became the head coach, and she built the program, became a national power in NAIA, and she was named National Coach of the Year. She also went on and helped develop other sports and helped the putting the funding into place for those sport programs. And it was interesting on Saturday when the article came out in the newspaper that we were going to have this award named after Joanne Bailey. And I had a chance to talk to Dick Beechner. And, you know, he served as her athletic director for several years. And he told me, he said, you know, there was one coach that I had in my office regularly that was fighting for her sport program, and that was Joanne Bailey. And he said, she was a fighter, and she continued to push and push and push, and that's, you know, that's kind of what the example of this is that women pre Title IX were denied opportunities, and they kept pushing and pushing. And so Joanne Bailey helped lay the foundation. So what we're going to do from here is we're now going to have awards that will be named after Joanne Bailey for the advancement of women's athletics. It can be male or female who have helped advance women's athletics. And there's a lot of names that are out there. You know, there's Rosella Meyer, our volleyball coach. There's Mary Eiten. You know, there's Amy Stevens. I mean, the list goes on and on of people that have walked on our campus that have made a significant impact. And so we want to recognize them over the years and bring them back to campus and make this a regular award that can celebrate the accomplishments that we've had so far.
Talk with the athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Paul Plinsky, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. We are in that transition from winding down some of the fall sports into winter. What are you more excited about?
Men's basketball fires me up, and you know they do because they've got a core group of guys back this year that showed last year that they can compete. And when you take Ethan Brozek, Connor Baronic, and Davion Pearson, you got three players that can play with anybody. And now if we can find some others, you know, Kevin Dineen, and we have two freshmen that came in, one from Minnesota, one from Iowa, I think that they could help complement what we're doing here. Ty Danielson from York will be awfully solid. It's exciting for me to see the passion and the drive that they have. And although we were picked to finish seventh in the MIAA, I don't think that fully is accurate because they're basing it off of history, they're basing it off of tradition. We're only 3 years into this conference, so I think that they've got tremendous upside to them. And of course, you can always count on wrestling to be strong and to represent our institution really well. But it'll be a fun winter for us as we look forward to what's to come.
You mentioned tradition, and I guess most of us Loper fans, when we think of UNK athletics, really the program that's had the most success, obviously volleyball has had some success, obviously, in recent years, but traditionally, growing up when I first went to school back in the 1980s, that it was always men's basketball. How important is it that this is one of the premier programs on campus?
Well, men's basketball is very important to me because of its capacity to generate a lot of enthusiasm and excitement in the community, get people in the stands, you know. I've always had the saying, empty seats don't buy popcorn. And if we don't have people in the stands, we're not generating the revenue we need to be able to operate, but we're also not generating the type of student athlete experience that we want to have. And so we've spent a lot of time this summer doing some things that we think will help not only all of our programs, but specifically men's basketball. We remodeled their locker room. We added new portable baskets. We put in chairs in the arena. We've got new uniforms coming in. We've done a lot of stuff that we think can help us with this group of student athletes, but also help us be able to be competitive and recruit some great basketball players to come in here to play in future years to come. So there's a lot of excitement, and I hope people will take the opportunity to come out on November 15th. We host Colorado School of Mines, and we're also recognizing the 2003 men's basketball team as our team of distinction. And it'll be a good chance for people to celebrate the past, but also get excited about the future.
A couple minutes left here with Paul Plinsky, UNK Athletic Director. I don't want to pigeonhole that there's one important sport more important than anything else on the UNK campus, but we had this discussion with some other folks the other day about it's so hard to try and raise money for each individual program, and obviously football has the most athletes out for it. Do you have to be careful there? I know that the football program does some individual fundraising just for their team like all the other sports do, and we've talked so much about making sure football can catch up in the MIAA. Do we have to be careful not to not forget about the other programs? How do you make sure that you don't do that?
Well, that's a great question. It's definitely a balancing act. You know, I have to be careful, but I also continue to fall back on the philosophy that a rising tide raises all ships. And football has the ability to rise the tide very, very, very quickly. It's a sport that gains tremendous amount of regional and national attention. Just look at schools like Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I mean, if you do some research, their applications are up and they're through the roof right now as a result of football's success. The amount of donations that the athletic department is getting is going through the roof. The alumni energy and the pride that they have is at the highest level it's ever been. And so those two schools are rebranding themselves in the midst of this success that their football program is having. And I think that's where we're at right now. We need to take a strong and hard look at where we're going with football, because it is that type of program. It has that type of capacity. And as it raises the tide, that can provide them the support that we need for all of our sport programs to help them get better. And, you know, quite frankly, it's the kickoff sport of the academic year. You know, you get football going, and then all of a sudden everybody else falls into place, and the players and the athletes are starting to say, if they can do it, why can't we? And it creates a great momentum for you that can carry through into the winter sports and all the way into the spring.
You mentioned a rising tide lifts all boats. Is right now the football team's 2-7. Is, in your opinion, is the tide rising?
The tide is rising because we've seen dramatic improvement. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot to show for it. You know, 2-7 is you know, when people look at it from the outside, say, well, that's not very good, really, is it? You know, and then they get disappointed. But there's tremendous improvement that's taking place on the field. Our guys are hungry. They're staying healthy. They're working hard at it every day. And that's what's promising to me. Obviously, we still have, you know, we have two more games to go, games that we can compete in and that we can do very well. And so I hope people will see that there has been progress that's being made. But, you know, if we flip that around and we were 7-2 at this time, I think that there'd be a different type of momentum that we would have on campus. And that's what we got to get to. We got to get to that point where we're winning the majority of our games and we're able to compete for conference championships, because that will put us on a regional and a national map that will allow us to do the things that we think we can do with our university and with the ability to recruit students and student athletes.
We have Coach Morris obviously on every Tuesday talking about getting closer and the way they're playing and being more competitive. And we talked specifically about how close they have been to 3-4, possibly more wins. I guess, Paul, I'll ask you, do you feel or do you think that the football staff feels pressure right now or going into these last two games?
Yeah, I do. I think they feel pressure, unfortunately. You know, I've tried to be as visible as I can to be a support for the team and to be able to be around just to say, hey, I'm here to help you and I want to be in this with you. But I think they look at it and they say, gosh, you know, we were 3-8 our first year in the league. We were 3-8 our second year. We made some major changes in our personnel and what we're trying to do on the field, and we're still only 2-7. So I think that they feel that, and it, you know, I hope it doesn't come from internal, but I think that they're winners. They want to be champions, and they know what it takes to be at that level. And so I think they feel that pressure not only from themselves, but they also probably feel it from our community. You know, Nebraska is a state that's very proudful of football and wants to do well, and I think that people watch us closely because of the capacity that we have. And so I hope that they can just go out and coach, you know, these last two games and let the chips fall where they may, and then we'll see how things go after that.
Have you had conversations with Coach Morris about the future, about support? Have you had those conversations with him during the season?
We have talked. Well, we've communicated about the future of the scholarship situation, and so you know, just recently he asked me. He says, "Where are we at for next year, so I can start planning?" Because they've had approximately 100 prospective recruits on campus, and I think that's a great thing. You know, to get them exposed to what we're all about and get them in here early, so that we can get a jump on the competition. So we've had those conversations, but you know, my level of support has been just to be visible, to be available. To travel on the road with the team, do all those kind of things, and that's the job that I'm trying to take right now. And then when the season's over, we'll assess where we're at and see where we want to go with things.
Paul, always appreciate the time. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think you hit on it pretty well. You know, we're in a great position right now to build on the momentum of these fall sports and jump into the winter sports season. You know, we talked a lot about, you know, football and volleyball, and we moved into, you know, basketball and wrestling. But, you know, we've got some sports that are kind of laying in the weeds that I think are going to attack. And I look at men's cross country, I look at men's tennis, and I look at baseball as being those programs that are kind of laying in the weeds, getting their work done, and all of a sudden, boom. They're gonna pounce, and that's exciting for me because with that comes a quiet confidence, and I think you'll hear that a lot from Coach Day as he talks about his program, and so there's some building momentum that'll all of a sudden start to come, and it'll happen for us sooner than later.
And obviously a busy time for ticket sales as well. Season tickets available at the moment.
Yeah, we encourage people to take advantage of single game or season tickets especially for our basketball season. We'll keep those opportunities available. And then as we get in the winter sports, especially into January, we have a lot of Thursday, Saturday night games for basketball. And people want to come out and see some good games. It'll be a chance for them to do that. And so we need the support, we value it, and we hope that we can put a great product out there that they can be excited about.
UNK Athletic Director Paul Plitzky giving us a very good segment, as always, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and some extra time. Always appreciate covering it all. And, again, we're going to be winding down with some final home games, football a week from Saturday, volleyball. Hopefully we'll get that first-round MIAA, and we'll move into basketball as well. So, Paul, thanks for the time.
I'm glad to be on the air. Thanks for all you do, guys.
You bet. That's our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. See Russ Smith as they offer all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans. Charter West National Bank. Nebraska women's basketball coach Connie Yori, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, all coming up.
Opening soon, NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of our newest rental store at 2608 32nd Street, Suite C. Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact us for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop today as temperatures top off up in the mid-60s. Winds out of the west will stay gusty at about 15 to 25. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 31 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 61.
Doug and Danny Show, it's a bye week, so we're not at Cunningham's. During the Doug and Danny Show, we will be at Cunningham's.
Lunch. You gotta have lunch.
It doesn't have to just be lunch. I like going other times, live entertainment, watching the games, popping in after, well, over the summer, a Sunday round of golf, now watching NFL football on Sundays. And anytime you want something new and something different for lunch, you don't have to worry about it. How many times do you think you could go to Cunningham's in a row without doubling up?
I think you'd go 2 weeks having a lunch and dinner there and not have a problem.
No problem at all, and I'm going to say more than that. Mix it up, get whatever
you want. I don't eat fish, though, so the shrimp stuff is off the menu for me. Just me.
Skewers. You know, the rest of you guys can do
start
it.
With the skewers, fire up some appetizers, pizza, salads, great, great burgers, Juicy Lucy, Juicy Jack. I'm telling you, if you've never had one, that's where you start when you go to Cunningham's. Of course, they've got all the games on. They've got Thursday night NFL football. They've got the NBA and hockey season now. And before the game, after the game, during the game, the place to be is Cunningham's Journal. Can't leave early for lunch. Slide on into the afternoon. They're open from 11 to 10 with their grill every single day. Happy hour from 3 to 6. Big ass beers, 3.5. Well drinks, a buck and a half. When you are ready to escape ordinary, the place to be, Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney. We are back there the next three Wednesdays for our Husker lunches, depending then if Nebraska makes the Big Ten championship, then we would have one before that. What do you think?
You know, originally we both kind of said Iowa was probably the team coming out of the division. I'm kind of to the point now. I think Nebraska definitely, well, obviously they control their own fate, but I think Nebraska is the best team in the West. I don't think it's Iowa anymore. I understand they got to win in Madison, but I like their chances. I really do. I think they can run the table and have a chance in the Big Ten championship game of maybe even earning a spot into the big thing. So a lot of things have to happen for that to happen, but I honestly think they'll be in the Big Ten championship game.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. So there you have it. Doug and Daddy Show, Randy Bushcutter co-hosted with me today. State football going on. You will be in Kennesaw with Kennesaw Randolph. I'm going to Fullerton for Amherst Fullerton, and we will have Blue Hill Hemingford and Giltner Humphrey St. Francis as our radio games today. Also Bertrand in action. Elwood is in action. Elm Creek is going up to Burwell, so best of luck to all those squads.
Yeah, it's a fun day of football, and I think they're going to have pretty good weather for it. The wind might be up there a little bit, but it'll be a great day for football, and a lot of them are going to be before the sun goes down, so it won't be near as chilly as it'll be, say, if they were playing tomorrow. Be pleasant.
There you go. All right.
I feel like the weather guy again. I used to do weather at one point. Never did it very well because I didn't know what I was talking about, but hey, it's the weather.
Coach Connie Yorey, Nebraska women's basketball team, getting ready to go as they have their second preseason game coming up on Sunday and then get things tipped around. Heck, they've got four starters back. They're ranked 17th in the country. They've got Amy Stevens on the staff. I mean, I can't believe they're not in the top five, right? Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Are you talking about women's basketball here, or are we talking about a volleyball program?
Well,
I wouldn't want Amy Stevens coaching volleyball.
Yeah, no.
we were just chatting about.
I don't think that's a good idea, nor would you want me doing that. Okay, I don't know the difference between a bump and a set and a spike. So I'll stick with what I probably know a little bit more about.
Well, obviously the women's programs are continuing to do well. Coach Connie Yorey joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter on this Wednesday. It's that anticipation before the season gets underway, and you've went through all the practices, of course, Coach, and you're in between exhibition games. How do you use these exhibition games? You took care of Wayne State. You don't have to play your starters a lot amount of time. What do you look for in these exhibitions?
Well, a couple things. I think, first of all, it's an opportunity to take the court with your uniforms on in front of a crowd. I think that's a really positive thing for particularly the young players in your program who were all very nervous the first couple times they do that. So it kind of helps to work out some of the nervousness. You know, it helps you as a coach, too, to be reminded, okay, what all the things that go into preparing for a game. And You know, we actually, you know, you forget, okay, every year, hey, by the way, we have to run warm-ups. And you have to, at some point, decide when you're going to work on your warm-ups. You can't just run out in the court and not know what you're doing. So those are things that are, I think, very advantageous. But then, you know, mostly, of course, just playing against an outside competition who's organized, who's going to run some different things than what you normally see in your practice setting, who's going to help prepare you for, you know, what you're going to see down the road. And so, you know, preparing for a scout takes some time, and, you know, it's good for our kids to do that when the game doesn't really count, particularly for our young players. But it's interesting, I talked about nervousness. Even our veterans were nervous for our Wayne State game. So I think they were not as nervous as our young players, but yet they were still a little bit anxious. And so a lot of those things you can kind of work out. So it gives you two opportunities between our two exhibition games to do that before, you know, we actually are playing for wins and losses.
Coach, is part of that nervousness based on the high expectations? I mean, after winning the conference last year, and, you know, apparently you walk around the campus carrying the trophy with you at all places in terms of...
By the way, my back is really sore from that.
It's a good problem to have. And by the way, I love that commercial. That was wonderful.
I just want to say...
What you and Coach Miles did, yeah.
She's not lying about how much it weighs, because they honored the team during the football game, and I believe it took three of your players to lug that thing off onto the sideline.
I'm telling you... It's kind of funny, though, the deal is that thing weighs probably 70 or 75 pounds. And for that commercial, of course, Coach Miles was was gracious enough to help us with the commercial. But I had to pick that thing up about 60 times in a two-hour period. The next day, honestly, I was super sore. My back was like a – and I told Coach – and the only reason that – you know, but you don't know behind the scenes – is the reason that I didn't want him touching the trophy is because he's probably not strong enough to pick it up.
Hello. Well, let me put a spin on my previous question. Is your team strong enough to kind of follow up with what you guys did last year? I mean, is there but coming away with that title, does that put a target on your back? Does it give your team confidence, a combination of the both? How do you kind of see that going in?
Well, I think our program now for the last 3 years, And actually, four out of the last 5 years, we've competed for a conference championship every single year. So, you know, we were able to win one in 2010, the Big 12 championship, and then we won the Big 10 tournament last year, of course. But, you know, our players have been playing at a pretty high level now for a lot of years. So I think we've had a target on our back for a while now. I think in terms of why kids are nervous that are upperclassmen is because they care and they want to do well. And I think they're less worried about what others are saying and more worried about, you know, that they want to take pride in the product that they put out on the floor.
We're talking with Connie Yorey, the head women's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska. They'll have another exhibition game this Sunday afternoon, and then the conference season or the regular season will start. You've been asked a million times. We'll ask you one more time. You've got all these girls back. You talked about in your preseason press conference and at Big Ten Media Days, you're going to be extremely young after those first four, and you have to replace Jordan Hooper. There's not one girl or one young lady on your team that can replace Jordan Hooper. So how do you change what you do to kind of fill in that gap?
Well, Jordan meant so much to our program, first of all. She was such a great representative of the state of Nebraska. You know, she really embodied the things that Nebraskans believe in, and hard work and good character and mental toughness and consistency. That's what Jordan brought to us on an everyday basis here. And, you know, Jordan ended her career as one of the best players ever to put on a Nebraska uniform. She was first-team All-American last year. She was... at least according to the coaches, she was the Big Ten Player of the Year. So, you know, you don't necessarily replace, a Jordan, but we have other good players in our program, some young ones that are going to have to find a way to contribute. And you're always tweaking things as a basketball coach. And as any coaching period, you're, you know, always trying to find a way to put your players in the best position they can to be successful. And it was a little easier with Jordan because she could do so many things, but at the same time, you know, that's something that you're always working on coaching. And we've got some young players, I think, as the season goes on, will develop and get better, and there's a big learning curve right now for a lot of those guys, just like there is for any freshman. But we do think that we have some nice young players in our program who will eventually be great players for us.
Coach, you mentioned the learning curve and having to tweak things as you go. Does it help immensely to kind of be able to go through that process when you have first team all Big Ten guard Rachel Terrio coming back?
You know, really good point, Kay. It always helps to have good players, okay? I'm going to tell you that, okay? That's really brilliant of me, isn't it? Rachel is, you know, I've coached a lot of really good guards over the course of my career, but, you know, Rachel's right there as one of the top guards that I've coached, and she was first team all-conference last year. She's on the preseason all-Big Ten team. We have 14 teams in the Big Ten. And she was picked as one of the top five players in the Big Ten. So, you know, we have six ranked teams in the Big Ten right now. So when she was named to that preseason all-conference team, that gives you a pretty good idea, because it was only five of them who were named, gives you a pretty good idea of the respect that she's earned in this league and how good she is. So she's one of the best passers in the country, but she can also score as well. She averaged over 15 points a game in conference games last year. So coming off, she was the MVP of the Big Ten tournament, you know, just somebody who is just a really good player. And we do believe that she has taken her game one more step. She's doing even more things for us this year than what she did a year ago. So, our other kids that are returning as starters, Emily Cady has been as consistent can be for us for the last, you know, three plus years. And she's a senior out of Seward. And, you know, there's no one who's been any more consistent day to day as Emily Cady has been the last three plus years. And, you know, we're expecting her to have a good year. Haley Sample's returning as a three-time, you know, both Haley and Emily have started every single game since they've been here. And now they're seniors. So those guys have a lot of experience. T. Laudermill's coming off a second team all conference year last year, had a great season for us. And we're expecting big things from her too.
But since Rachel is your point guard, does that give you kind of an extra, that ability to kind of, what you say in practice, she's able to kind of put out on the court since she'll have the ball in her hand so much?
Well, the best players that I've coached are the ones who have a combination of good athleticism and a high IQ. If you tell Rachel to do something one time, she will do it multiple times. I mean, she's the type of kid that will do it, you know, pretty much every single time. You tell her to do it once, she knows exactly. She understands the game. She sees the game. And so there's when your point guard has that kind of IQ, there is no question from a coaching standpoint that it gives you great confidence. Just like having a quarterback with experience and you can count on to make the right decisions and make the right play from a football standpoint, you know, that point guard is your quarterback, and she really understands what we're doing and what we're trying to do and the why of it.
Last moment with Nebraska women's basketball coach Connie Yorey here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You mentioned Maryland and Rutgers. This is one of the few sports I think that they are going to make an immediate impact in the first year. Your thoughts on them joining the league and how it makes it even stronger?
Well, I don't like it one bit. Okay? Maryland was in the Final Four last year, and Rutgers won the NIT and has everybody back. And Rutgers has been a perennial top 25 team, and Maryland has been basically a perennial top 10 team. So in women's basketball, we're adding two programs that are going to make our league that much better. Now, I don't think there's another sport that can say that. Clearly, the strength of Maryland and Rutgers athletic programs are their women's basketball programs. So we're adding two really good programs. So, and then additionally, last year, or the last few years, we've played 16 Big Ten games in the regular season in addition to the conference tournament. This year we're going to an 18-game Big Ten schedule, and then you're adding, you know, more quality teams. Our Big Ten schedule is unbelievably challenging. There's one poll who has six teams in the Big Ten ranked in the top 25, and there's another poll that has seven teams, seven of our 14 teams ranked in the top 25. So with the addition of those two programs, we've definitely have strengthened our league. And our league wasn't, you know, we didn't really need a lot of strengthening. It was already really good. We probably are going to have the number one RPI league in the country this year based on what, if the preseason rankings mean anything. They don't mean a lot, but if that, you know, holds true. And then, in addition, we are playing a very challenging non-conference schedule. We have four really tough road games, plus we have Duke here. Duke's a top 10 team. We have Utah coming in. We have a very challenging schedule. So I don't know who did that schedule, who's trying to do it to me, but whoever's trying to do it to me is trying to get me fired, I've decided.
Well, I know that the fans love it. And, Coach, we'll let you out of here with this because we brought it up at the beginning. Amy Stevens back on your staff. I know everyone here with her days in Kearney would love that she would still be a head coach somewhere. That's not where she's at right now. But her back on the staff and maybe how she's a little bit different than the first time she was with you.
Yeah, the background of Amy, of course, is she spent 8 years as the head. Of course, she played here and was a great player here at Nebraska. She spent 8 years as the head coach at UNK and did a phenomenal job there and won lots of conference championships and lots of games. She came here to be my assistant in our first year, which was 2002-2003. She spent 1 year here as an assistant and then got the head coaching job at Drake University and was there for 9 years. So her background is definitely one of experience. She's been, like I said, head coach for 17 years, including 9 at the Division I level. You know, she spent just 1 year here as an assistant. And, Amy will be the first to tell you, I think she learned a great deal as a head coach at the Division I level and learned that, you know, what it really takes to be a head coach at that level is, and there's some challenges. And so she's here to be a great assistant and I think she's, you know, just like we all learn. I think anybody who's been doing this and who can do it for a while, we all learn through our experiences. And I think Amy is now even that much better an assistant than she was the first time around. But she was pretty good the first time around, too.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck this season. We'll let you get back to work.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Good night, Coach.
Keep lugging more trophies. Get one for the other hand. You know,
it balances it out.
Yeah,
you got 75 on one side, 75 on the other. Balances it out. It's easier to carry that way.
Why has she got such a strong upper body? Well, she's got all these trophies she's carrying around. We thank Coach Connie Yori for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter again. They have an amazing schedule, as she already talked about. So we'll see how it all plays out for the Big Red, picked in the top three of the preseason media poll. Need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where they are growing and seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals to join their team. Go to MidwayCareers.com. You can see the full list of jobs. You don't even have to have been in this field before. If you're looking to make a career change, maybe you're coming out of college, maybe you've moved to the area, maybe you've pushed the kids out the door, you're ready to get a job again for something to take care of your free time, MidwayCareers.com, the place to go. See the list of jobs. You can even apply online. Great benefits and more at your Midway auto dealership. Bob Jensen next.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Wondering if your old heating system is going to squeak by this winter? Don't. With up to $1,450 in cool cash rebates, there's never been a better time to explore the full line of Carrier innovations. And ask your dealer how an efficient home comfort system by Carrier can reduce your monthly energy bills through the life of your system. But don't wait. Your cool cash window closes soon. Carrier, turn to the experts.
For full details, contact Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating in Kearney or Holdridge.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Show, Doug Gooder, Randy Bush Cutter, Bob Jensen from Husker Line Prep going to join us in just a moment. But while we hook up with Bob, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, is the college football playoff poll entertainment or a valuable part of the process?
I think you got to know where you're standing. I mean, I think it's a necessary evil. I don't know if it's entertainment.
I suppose if you're in the eight hole and you need to surpass somebody, yeah.
I see it. You know, I look at it and I kind of look at the path of how does Nebraska get there? How does Michigan State get there? And I honestly see a path for both of them to get there. But if one of those two teams wins out, but what has to happen? And that's the nice thing about having this poll. I think you understand that probably Notre Dame's got to lose to somebody, too. They got a pretty good resume.
Well, the vote was 56% saying it was a valuable part of the process, 44% entertainment only. You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com because today we ask you how many teams from the SEC will make the college football playoff come December. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. I really think it's going to be two. I think, Randy, the media has made it out to be two.
I think it'll be one.
They've talked about it for so long and keep hammering it. And there's 2 and 3 in there for the first time. And now we've got 2, and it was 3. But if Alabama beats Ole Miss, I think both of those can be in there.
I think it'll be one. I mean, can they be in there? Yes. But I think, again, I think your SEC champion is in, unless, of course, it's the SEC East champion that wins the SEC title game. Then there may not be any SEC teams at that point. I'm not holding my breath on that. But I think there's –
Only like Presbyterian beats one of – you know, whoever these slappers are that they're playing.
Well, no. I mean, if Georgia with a couple of losses, and including one that's kind of bad, if they're the conference champion, you don't even win your conference, and yet you're going to play for the national title. I mean, there would be kind of – that pressure with that. But if TCU wins out, if Notre Dame wins out, Florida State wins out, you're starting to run out of spots. And what if Michigan State wins out and you have Georgia that wins the SEC? I can see them finishing fifth. I really can. I think you're going to get one in there, and that's going to be it from the SEC.
Okay, let's see what the people say. And not that that's
but they're
right.
They're the conference that's in the driver's seat. Right. There's a 90% chance the SEC champion is going to be in that. No other conference can say that.
Yeah, nobody else is going to have more than one. That's
We're not having a conversation that it's going to be Arizona State and Oregon in there. We're not having that conversation, are we?
You can vote on a Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Danny Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
The playoffs have round one in the book. Round two begins today, which is the Sweet 16 in Class D1 and D2. The quarterfinals A through C, six-man semifinals on Friday. And Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report back with us on this Wednesday. Good morning, Robert.
Hello there, Duda. Good to hear your voice, of course.
You know this other guy, Bushcutter, at all? He's back with us.
Hi, Bob.
I do. I do. You know, I didn't really say much about that, but yes, I do.
It's just been a while since we chatted. You know, it's hard to resume the niceties when we haven't chatted for a while.
Well, you are a man in demand, Bush. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you don't want to know what people are demanding me to do, but that's a different story for a different day.
Well, let's let's just jump in, people. Let's just jump in here.
Okay.
And because we don't have another half hour to chat here, because I would sure like to on a couple of topics with Bob, but we'll save that for a later day. Let's actually just look at some football here. And when I was talking with the coaches and reading some of the stuff on Huskerland Prep, boy, it's always nice when you're not on the side that has all the studs, because you feel that, you know what, I don't have to be a dynasty to make it to the state finals. But when you're on that side, like the D2 East is right now, my goodness, There's eight schools there. Maybe six. I'll say there's six schools there that any of them have thoughts right now that they could make it to Lincoln.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that is without a doubt the strongest half of any bracket you're going to find. And one team doesn't make a bracket, but it is true. When Stewart, and I know we said this earlier, when Stewart went east instead of west, it weakened the west and further strengthened the east. And so now here you are left with games like Stewart and Sacred Heart and Giltner and St. Francis in the second round. That's pretty harsh.
Well, how do you see that one playing out, Bobby? I saw your predictions. I don't agree. I think Sacred Heart, with the two teams they lost to, I think they're going to be a handful. And then you look at Randolph or Kennesaw, whoever wins that's going to have to go down there. I think that's just a tough, tough task.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You know, and the thing is, it's a long trip. I didn't realize exactly how long it was until I was talking to Coach Doug Gold. There will be boys that leave Fall City who have never shaved before who will shave upon arrival at Stewart. That's just a guess on my part. It's a long way, 5.5 hours on a bus. And, you're right. I saw Stewart last week. Stewart did not look good in the first half of its game against Osceola. Could be a lot of different reasons for that, but they do have probably the best player on the field, and that's Alex Coons, their quarterback. Whatever Stewart is going to do in this postseason, a lot of it's going to wind up on his shoulders.
Obviously, somebody's going to have to win the West, though. I mean, you talk about the teams that you kind of have the favorites overall are in the East, but out West, what are Elwood's chances, for instance?
Well, I tell you what, Elwood needs to find a way to win today. I'm not entirely sure. As much as I would love to see my boy Kevin Malberg win himself another playoff game in advance. I don't know. I have in my head that Sandhills Thedford is just pretty good. They've got tremendous balance across the field. They've got a lot of good young players. I don't know. You know, they've played some elite teams. They played Stewart tough. They got beat by Stewart. And they made Anselmo Myrna work to the very end before losing by 5 points. And so that is it. And, you know, just a note to self, Myrna beat Elwood by 30. So those are just scores. Those are just numbers. I don't mean anything right now. But if Elwood, I would be kind of interested to see Elwood win and play somebody like Anselmo Myrna again. I'm not entirely sure that's going to happen.
Wow, what a schedule there, too, for Sandhills-Thedford to get both Myrna and Stewart, which is not just across the street either. So Elwood, Sandhills-Thedford, Bertrand, Maxwell, Randolph, Kennesaw, and Giltner, Humphrey, St. Francis, Exeter, Milligan, Chambers, Wheeler Central, and Selma, Myrna, Paxton. Those are most of the D2 games going on today, and a battle of great running backs in that Kennesaw-Randolph game. Let's move on to D1. I'm very intrigued about Elm Creek-Burwell tonight, Bob.
I tell you what, Burwell's seen enough of Elm Creek, okay? Burwell has seen enough of Elm Creek. They can't seem to find a way to beat Elm Creek in the postseason, or if you flip it around, it's one of those deals where Elm Creek seems to have Burwell's number. I also saw Burwell last week, and something that I was really impressed with, you read the paper, you know about the quarterback, a kid by the name of Victory Sykes, and I mainly said that so I could say his name, but he's got a kid at receiver, guys, a kid by the name of Ty Chafin. And Ty Chafin is somewhere in that 6'2", I would guess, 190-pound range. He's a nice-looking athlete, and there's not a lot of sophistication to what they're going to do when they throw the ball there. They're going to wind up, try and get it deep, and he's a good enough athlete where he's going to get up against these smaller backs and cause some problems. Elm Creek's going to need to find a way to put some pressure on Burwell, and I think they will. I think that's a game that Elm Creek probably makes three in a row in the playoffs, I mean.
Part of the bracket in D2 has a lot of interest in this area. Hemingford and Blue Hill at D1, and Amherst and Fullerton as the other game kind of within that bracket. Who do you see of those four teams kind of coming out of that in the next two games?
It's Hemingford. I mean, the answer right now to just about every question that has to do with D1 is Hemmingford. It's a team that played a ridiculously one-sided schedule, but it did the same thing last year. And, Bush, I tell you what, there's another team. The core of that team, the four seniors that are most prominent on that team, they're all All-State caliber. And the best player on the field, if you ask me, the best player to take the field in eight-man football this year is not the, it's kind of unique. It's not the running back at Hemmingford. He only ran for 2,000 yards last year, averaging like 15 yards a carry. Their best player is a kid that plays tight end and defensive end, a kid by the name of Colt Foster. And he's the kind of guy that could play up the street at UNK. I know Shadron wants him real bad. Shadron State wants him real bad. He's a big kid, 6'3", 215. Tremendous wingspan, and Fullerton's going to beat Amherst. I think I'm pretty certain of that, which would set up a Hemmingford Fullerton game at Fullerton next week, and that might prove to be one of the most interesting games of the entire eight-man playoff, state championship games included.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. Let's put 11 men on the field here. And I like Grand Island's chances. Millard West is somebody that we're going to be talking about here on a couple of different levels. But for Kearney High, they have to play Omaha North. No one's going to obviously give them a chance. The Bearcats are even banged up going into this football game, giving them less of a chance, Jim Craig-type odds here almost. But Millard West lost to North 20-13. Kearney was ahead at Millard West 14-0 going into the fourth quarter. So there is at least one something that I found there. North has played two close games this year, Millard West and Omaha Central. Bob, can you tell us anything that those two games showed how they could stay close with North?
Well, I mean, to me, and Doug, you know it as good as I do, Bush, you do too, the number one thing, in my opinion, that Kearney High has going for itself going into this game is its coaching staff. Players come and go. Coaches make a program. Brandon Cool and his people know how to make winning football teams. Is Kearney favored? No. Is Kearney expected to even keep it close? No. But, the football does funny things. I certainly don't expect Kearney to win the ball game. I do expect Kearney to make it competitive. Omaha North, it's going to Kearney. I mean, that's not something that's a real common occurrence, and it will be a different experience. I'll guarantee you, there'll be a lot of kids on that bus that A, have never been to Kearney, and B, didn't know where it was. And so that will make some difference, but. Kearney's tradition and its belief in itself, that's going to put it in some sort of position. But Kearney's going to need to force some turnovers and get lucky. That's what it's going to take. The other game, Millard West, I was talking with their coach, Kirk Peterson, yesterday, and this isn't great news for Grand Island. There is some great news. They have Kirk was just telling me how much he respects not just Coach Tomlin and his staff, but the program there, the blue-collar thing that Jeff likes to promote all the time because he's a big, tough guy. But the point is that they are winners there. But the flip side to that is that Millard West is as healthy as it's been all season. And there have been games, and the first one I think of is the Norfolk game where Millard West got embarrassed. Now, they were minus a lot of people that game. But it doesn't matter. The bottom line was they got roughed up. So that's in your head a little bit. I'm a Tomlin guy from way back. I want Grand Island to be representative. I think with Pierce Hallman, who Coach Peterson spoke very, very highly of, they've got a real good chance of winning. But having said that, I would take Millard West, which should, if nothing else, increase Grand Island's chances of winning the ballgame.
Well, on the same field earlier in the day, Class C1 has the matchup of top-ranked Ashland Greenwood, Grand Island Central Catholic, who came off the mat and had a dramatic win against Wilbur Claytonia. They'll play host to Ashland Greenwood. How do you see that matchup? I mean, on paper, you'd say probably Crusaders probably shouldn't have much of a chance, but they've kind of proven that they're rather resilient.
Yeah. Well, you and your associates there at Kearney Catholic know a little something about Grand Island Central Catholic. These guys, They've been playing great football the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. They really seem to have something. And Ashland Greenwood is a really good football team. It's a team that made last year's state finals. And speaking of on paper, they beat Central City 48-14 the first time around, in the first round. Central City missed a whole bunch of opportunities in that ball game, and that's not to say that they're going to turn around and beat Ashland Greenwood. But I would say of all the number one seeds, the one that is probably in the most nervous position is probably Ashland Greenwood, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One of them is Central Catholic is, A good football team, which, B, is playing very well. The other thing is, and this just may be me trying to dream something up, but 2 o'clock's a funny time to play a game. The boys from Central Catholic are going to be in their daily routine and go to the field and play a ball game. Ashland Greenwood, not going to do that. But the one thing that Central Catholic is going to have to find a way to do is stop Ashland Greenwood's running game. They've got a sophomore kid by the name of Trevor Nicholson, who, for my money, is an all-state player. He was really good last year as a freshman on that team. If they can do that, that's going to increase Central Catholic's chances. And I think as good as anything in this round, that has the potential to be the biggest upset.
Last minute here, so real quick, couple more thoughts, Bob, before we let you go. First, they just will build a cage around Duncan Field Friday night for Aquinas and Hastings St. Cecilia, and conference rivals. Plenty of history, maybe not a lot of history man on man for these two teams recently on the football field. And I know people, I still get that feeling that people snicker when they say, well, they beat Gibbon. Gibbon's so much better. I mean, they were 8-1 for crying out loud. They just destroyed Gibbon. I picked them in the trib contest to beat St. Cecilia, which I just never pick against St. Cecilia. And that's just going to be a great game. So a quick comment on that. And is it going to be Cozad Boone Central in the C1 final?
Okay, one at a time. They should always put a cage around Duncan Field, okay? Second of all, two great coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, Carl Tesmer, Ron Mendick. I like Aquinas' defense more than I like anything else in that game. I would like Aquinas. I don't know if Cozad is going to have the goods to make a state final. I think it's a good football team. It's not a great football team, but they're going to have a puncher's chance to make it there. And as far as Boone goes, they better be careful tonight in the rematch against Norfolk Catholic.
Some good ones out there. And Bob, as always, we appreciate you chatting with us. Have you decided where you're going?
I am. Because I don't have a friend, I'm going to friend. Maybe get my picture taken by the population sign so that I'll be with my friend. But before I get there, I'm going to go down to Shickley, watch BDS in Bloomfield, and then swing over to Milligan because everybody should go to Milligan at least once in their life.
Well, have some kolaches along the way, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, dude. Thanks, Bush.
Thanks, Bob.
Nobody better than Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Report, T&L Irrigation. They're right up there. I mean, you know, all the folks there. But when you're talking on the field, watching the games, it's Bob Jensen. When you're talking in the field.
Are you saying Bob's all wet, too, like T&L Irrigation will provide you need that? No, I'm just checking.
Imagine if we could turn Bob on and off like we could our T&L pivots?
I think he is hydrostatically powered, Bob. I really think he is.
He covers the whole field just like T&L Irrigation does. T&L has proven technology that works on your field with their Precision Point Control 3. Control the speed, direction, end gun, and auto and stop locations with GPS, so you don't even have to be at home. You can take care of what's going on with your T&L irrigation systems. The Pivot Manager 2, the Precision Link, it's all there. It's all as pivot control options. They continue to grow and develop and take care of you at T&L Irrigation Systems. So get your entire field covered, just like Bob does for football, T&L does for your field. At T&L Irrigation, we'll wrap it up next.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The reason for weekends is at Buzz's Marine in Kearney. Whether you want a fishing boat that can deliver a great time for the whole family or a tournament-ready fishing rig, fish from a smoker craft, America's first family of boats powered by Yamaha Marine.
I meet my buddies out on the lake.
headed out to a special place we love.
From the huge live wells and casting platforms to the smooth, stable ride, Smoker Craft boats are the best value on the water. See the lineup today at Buzz's Marine, celebrating 50 years of trust, 5th and Central Kearney.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Visit the Kroll Agency in Kennesaw, Hastings, Minden, and Roseland today.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a winter checkup. Winter driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the cold weather. Tice Auto Care can check your brakes, hoses, and fluids so that you're ready for the tough winter driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your winter vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community. All on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Dug and Daddy Show, where the Kearney Chicken Coop is the original sports bar and grill, the best of both worlds. A lot of places say they are, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. And every Wednesday, their lunch is a turkey BLT inside for only $6.49. Can't beat it for $6.49. Lunches are served from 11 to 4 every day, but of course, they are open all day long for anything off the menu. If you want a steak, if you want some salmon, if you want some ribs, they've got that. If you want something lighter, like a salad, just maybe one of the appetizers. They've got that. Burgers, pizzas, great sandwiches. Always love the French dip there. Check it out at the Chicken Coop, the best of both worlds, the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, downtown Kearney, where in the afternoons, happy hour lasts from 2 until 5:30. Specials on appetizers, long necks, draws, it's all there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop. And don't forget, it's never too early to book your holiday parties. They've got the great facility downstairs with the games and pool tables, family fun there. Play some Keno, do whatever you want at the Kearney Chicken Coop.
And again, happy hours. It's plural. It's plural. Well, it's not the only thing better than happy hour would be happy hours. Plural. That's like fun size candies are the big ones, not the small ones. The fun size ones are the big ones.
See, now you've taken me in a different direction. This could be a 5-hour show today, but we don't have that time. Jimmy Kimmel. You know what? I don't get as much chance because the most late night television I probably ever watched in my life was when I was in college.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
And Letterman was king. And now Letterman's getting ready to retire. I like what Fallon's doing. And Kimmel right now just seems to have the number one slot. And when he has people send in video of the parents telling their young kids that they ate all their Halloween candy, it is priceless. It is so funny. I mean, of course,
Torturing small children for your family entertainment.
Well, that's what it is. You're torturing small children, hoping that they will make a fit, which any other time they would be in timeout and receive a spanking, not from Adrian Peterson. But they would receive that. And here, it's all for fun and games. And it's not hard to find. It's all over Jimmy Kimmel's page, Facebook, YouTube, where they are. You know, there's a couple of the kids that go, "That's okay." But why did you ruin my life? It is so great. Alex Gordon wins his fourth Gold Glove last night. Four consecutive years for Alex Gordon. Eric Hosmer and Salvador Perez win it for the second consecutive year.
Well, that defense kind of showed up in the playoffs. I mean, you saw it all the way through. It's certainly the strength of their team. Okay, now you've opened up that wound. One more hit. Just needed one more hit.
Coach Pelini says Amir will be ready. Here, there. Let me put some salve on it. Nebraska volleyball tonight is at home against Purdue, the 12th-ranked team of the country, on 1230 KHAS, the Big Ten Network, at 6:30. Hastings College is home tonight for volleyball, their regular season finale against Doan. Hastings women's soccer, a winner over Morningside last night. They'll host Briarcliff Saturday in the conference semifinals. Hastings basketball opened up conference play last night, and neither had a problem with Mount Marty. Jamie Van Kirk, a career-high 34 points for the women.
We talked a little Royals baseball. It's been a while since I've been here. Let me just say this. I had to laugh when people were on Twitter saying, oh, yeah, all you Royals fans now, oh, you're coming, hopping on the bandwagon now. Everybody's hopping on the Royals bandwagon. You know what, Royals fan? That's my American League team. It's kind of the team I grew up with. Everybody knows I'm a bigger Cincinnati Reds fan. I'll tell you what. If the Reds are in the World Series next year, hop on. Hop on the bandwagon. Come on. I'll play the music for you. Come on. Yeah, hop on the bandwagon.
I would have hopped on the bandwagon in 2006. There was no bandwagon.
I want you to love my team. I don't care why you love my team. I just want you to love my team. If the Reds are in the World Series next year, I will have no problem with everybody being big Cincinnati Reds fans. I'm just saying, Royals fans, enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. And I hope that we have a Reds-Royals World Series next year. That would be awesome.
Hey, producer Jeff, now that we're at the end of our first Doug and Daddy show in about 2 months with Randy back as co-host.
Oh, God, here it comes.
How would you grade this? Should we invite him back next week?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh!
He loves everybody.
Yeah, he is. He is warm and fuzzy.
He's
warm and fuzzy.
He wants to get along. Volleyball, Kearney, Grand Island, both playing their district tournaments tonight. Off to Millard for Kearney, off to North Platte for Grand Island, so not quite as, of course, I guess for Grand Island, that's basically tweener, metro or there. The Class B sub-state, the second year of this, even if you won your district, you're not assured of going to state like Hastings. They're the 14 seed. They will play at Elkhorn South. These are all Saturday at noon. Grand Island Northwest, the 4 seed, will host Omaha Mercy at 1. Aurora, the 2 seed, will host Omaha Roncalli at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. And those are the area teams. And then Class D is on Thursday. We will have the Axtell Blue Hill game on Classic Hits 98.9 from Adams Central. All these games are at 7 unless otherwise noted. Ansley Litchfield will play O'Neill St. Mary's, a battle of unbeatens in the district final. That'll be up at Burwell. Then we move on down to a D2. It will be Bertrand and Sandhills Thedford playing at Gothenburg. Also, it will be Lawrence Nelson and Spalding Academy playing at Grand Island Central Catholic. So those are the games all at 7 on Thursday. Then on Friday, we will have the Kearney Catholic Grand Island Central Catholic game, 7:30 from Hastings College. So that way everybody can go watch the playoff football in the afternoon, then get to Hastings College for the volleyball that night. Also, Southern Valley will be taking on Bridgeport at Paxton, 7:30 Central Time. At 6 o'clock, Hastings St. Cecilia will be taking on Centura. That game is at Kennesaw. We will have the Ord-Ogallala game at Lexington at 7 o'clock. Sutton and Nebraska Christian will play at Aurora at 7 o'clock. And that catches you up on the volleyball action for the rest of the week. If you're bored, you ain't looking very
You're not
hard.
Looking very hard. You're not looking very hard. A lot of great high school action coming up in the next few days. And if we're making that transition, we got college football, we got college basketball all in the neighborhood. It's coming.
We have our trip back to Bandits tomorrow. We're going to be in Grand Island. Tim and the gang tomorrow night. Band is going on. They're going to have all kinds of festivities tomorrow night with some live music. They've been doing that along Thursday at Bandits. I'll be there with Steve Anderson as my co-host. Luke Hoover of RotoWire will answer your fantasy football questions. We'll concentrate on Grand Island and Grand Island Central Catholic's playoff games. We'll recap what happened today in Class D. It's all that and more tomorrow. We want to thank UNK Athletic Director Paul Plinsky for joining us on the program today. Nebraska Women's Basketball Coach Connie Yori, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. If you missed any of it, go to our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com.
I hope to see you next Wednesday, unless something happens, unless you know something I don't.
We'll see everybody else tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!